And anyone who might wish to observe it later on can do so. I have agendas and minutes over here and a place for sign-ins for our audience. And welcome to our community members. Tom can sit right here if he wants.
No, he's going down at the end.
He doesn't want to sit by the teacher. But we're turning it over to you, so you go right ahead.
All right. All right.
Michelle,
how are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Yes, too.
Great. Wait
welcome,
for you.
Everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Would we like to go around the table and say who we all are? I'm Stacey Campbell, chairman of Columbia School Board. I'm filling in for Nate, who I'm assuming has the flu.
I know, he just said he had a conflict, so I hope if he is ill, that he's better trained, but I don't.
Oh, this one?
Sure.
So Brittany Haley, I was a facilitator at the community conversations and I worked for the Community Builders Hub.
John Hall, and I work here in the library.
I'm Alan, teacher at the Tech Ed Building.
John McKinnon, retired.
Deb Green, Colbert School Board.
Robert Griffey, Colbert School Board.
Craig Hamlin, Colbert President.
Hania, Colbert School Board.
Michelle Strasburger, co-president of the PTO, parent.
Deborah Taylor, superintendent.
Bridget Cross, business manager.
Lisa Placey, past Columbia School Board member, currently reside in Colbert, and I'm a retired as well.
Kimberly Law, principal.
Kristen Brooks, Columbia School Board.
All righty, thank you all. The next item on our agenda is to review and approve the meeting minutes of October 11th. Does everybody have a copy of that?
So our notes were, they would have been repetitive. So I just attached the PowerPoint presentation from Michelle, old Shannon, and so that anyone could refer back to it. It's been quite a while. That was a meeting in which we were preparing for the community conversations. Most of you were present at that meeting.
Is there a motion to approve these minutes? Bob and Tanya?
I ask that everybody speak up a little louder.
All right, there's a motion to approve the minutes for. By Bob and Tanya, is everyone in agreement?
All right.
Yes. Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is communication and capital campaign updates. Deborah.
I think we skipped the number three community conversation series.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. That makes more sense. Oh, you just have the right. You can't trust the chairperson.
Yeah, well, you know, when the chairperson gets a 30-second notice, it's fine.
Very well. Thank you.
Okay.
We did skip the community conversation series from New Hampshire Listens report. So that is what these minutes are attached to. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. All right. So I could ask you to, there's two items in your packet. One of them looks like a PowerPoint, but it's just sort of a series of notes to guide our conversation about the community conversation report. I had emailed you all a copy of this a couple of weeks back, probably, and it's a very interesting read. And if you had attended, you might have read some of the information may have resonated with me. A couple of you went to both, and most of you went to at least one. So what we had received this in December, and it seemed like not the best time to call a meeting of this group to look it over and give us feedback. So instead, we want to send it out to you, and the school board from Colbrook is looking for you to provide feedback or information about your thoughts about that process and any future steps. So for that purpose, I'm going to ask you to open up this presentation on here that looks like that says project committee. January 9th, and we'll start right off with a discussion about the community conversations. So again, from our meeting with Michelle in October and the two sessions that she led for us, I was just so very impressed and appreciative of all the work that you did to help us bring the community together and to walk us through those conversations that we have. New Hampshire Listens from UNH is an organization that is really designed to do just that, bring groups of people together to help them unify, look for commonalities, try to solve any issues or problems that might arise. And they donated their time to us for both days and the planning and preparation. So on the record, I'm going to really let you all know how much we appreciate that effort. So their mission is, as I mentioned, to bring people together, talk and listen and act so the communities can work for everyone. And our purpose, a subset under their group, was to have an informed discussion about the facility and education needs in Colebrook and gain help our committee and the school board gain perspectives and learn about questions and also learn about facts. So we held two meetings. They were on October 25th and November 4th. One was an evening meeting, the other was a day meeting. And I know many of you participated or facilitated. So what I'd like to do, just want to turn the page for a second. I spoke for quite a while with Michelle, and as she was compiling this report for us, we had some questions, and then I asked her, what would be the next best step for our committee in terms of getting this feedback and looking it over? And she said, the best thing for us to do would be to have a meeting where we can talk freely about our experience if we were present in the meeting, and also talk about what we learned as a result. Now, even if you weren't able to attend these meetings, and not everybody was, you still have a fairly good amount of data from the report. So I'm hoping that you either have or could refer to it as we go along tonight. So I'm going to start by just asking for, and by the way, welcome to Brittany for joining us. Brittany was instrumental in attending both meetings and serving as a facilitator and with her work in the community hub. So thanks for joining us. We really look forward to your input as well. So firsthand commentary from facilitators and other committee participants. So could you raise your hand if you were present as a facilitator or at the meetings? Okay. Well, thank you. And how many of you were able to attend one or the other of those meetings? Excellent. We had a really good turnout from the committee. Thank you. So the first thing we just wanted to talk about, again, this is just general dialogue on a conversation, and or the recording is going to help me with our notes. And if anyone's interested, they can be, you know, tuning in at a later time. But the goal is just to hear from you. Might seem like quite a while ago, but we did have some, I think, excellent conversations. But I'd like to hear from you all firsthand. Both from facilitators and other participants, about what were your thoughts about the makeup and the tone of the groups that you sat in on, or the reports that the small groups made. So just in general, I'd be interested in hearing from you folks about that.
I sat with some of the high school students, and it was really interesting to hear their perspectives. Probably the first time I've heard from high schoolers during this whole process. And some of the things that resonated with me was that they don't have an identity because they're in the elementary school. And it's very intimidating to be bused to Pittsburgh and back for the CTE programs when you don't know the teachers, you don't know the other students that will be in the program. And then you miss out on some of the other classes you could be taking because you're being bused back and forth. So it was really interesting to hear their perspective.
Thank you, Michelle. Someone
else? I was very concerned that the majority of the people there were people that are in favor of the building addition. The naysayers didn't really show up. And from what I see on Facebook and whatnot, that we're not going to stand a chance of this passing at school meeting.
No, you were a facilitator and for both meetings, right? Mm-hmm. And what was the makeup of your group? Were they mostly citizens? Did you have any staff members or?
Yeah, it was a combination of both.
Combination?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
I'd have to agree with Kevin. I think that the word went out to the public on Facebook that don't bother showing up for this. And what's really sad about it is it was a wonderful opportunity to communicate those feelings, those wishes, those no's, and to talk about it and try to arrive at a conclusion. Because guess what? You can shut it down. They absolutely have that right. And sure, but it doesn't make your problem go away. You still have the problem. You have to find a solution. That was a great opportunity to sit and talk about it. But the groups that we had were productive, but they should have been maybe at least five times the size they were.
Thank you, Stacey. And I had a split group the first time, people on both sides of it, and I was probably one of the only groups that had the other side perspective shared. Everyone was really respectful, though. Like, the small group discussions are a great way to have these conversations for people to go back and forth and share their ideas.
And agree.
So, it's an easy way to talk about contentious issues.
Yep.
I was really impressed with how everyone interacted.
Yeah, the how it's facilitated was really worthwhile. It was a good program. So,
yeah. Yeah, and there were a lot of good ideas shared and thoughts and concerns of what's needed. And I agree with everything said. And the first meeting I was at Brittany's table, we had a couple people from the other side, but had a really respectful conversation. And I wish there, like Kevin said, there had been more people on the other side, because we all had really good conversations. And the second meeting, I sat with the high schoolers, and that was very impressive. I was very impressed by everything that they brought up and how they presented their views. I did think the student voice was very impactful to hear.
Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate to have Brittany as facilitator for one of my sessions. And our table was mostly pensioners like myself, some that had real concerns about the tax impact of the programs. They were quite frank about their income and concerns about increases in taxes. And as mentioned, it was the discussion I wish we had had at the town meeting when we were discussing this. Everybody was quite nice to one another. I had coffee with one of the members of the table. We ran into one another at the Wilderness a couple weeks later. And everyone that I spoke to had very valid concerns. On the second meeting, I was lucky enough to sit at a mixed table as well. And one of the people at my table had been opposed to the expansion. However, views had changed quite a bit after taking the tours that the superintendent was giving, and had never really saw what was the size constraints that were on the school, and said he wasn't sure that he would have voted differently. But he certainly saw the need to do something about the problems in the school. It may not be exactly the plan that had been presented the first time around, but was more than amenable to looking at ways of expansion or other things to free up space. And one of the things I was rather surprised, he had never had any connection to the arts, but he was terribly concerned about the arts room. That we've lost that as a space and as a resource. And apparently one of his granddaughters, that was her favorite spot in the schools. And you know, that was the one attachment. Another person was very concerned that if we needed more classroom space, it might lead to the type of tin buildings that are used in Groveton when they hit the seams of the lower school, and was very concerned that it may impede, as a resource for the town, either the ball field or the basketball court. And with someone that all of his kids had graduated, were no longer students in the school, but apparently he and his wife still look forward to going down and watching the ball games in the summer and the basketball games in winter. and said he was wished we could have broken it off and done the basketball court instead of the schools, because he sometimes can't get a seat.
We sure have a great turnout at our basketball. We have an elementary one tonight, right? All right. Other thoughts about what you heard, what you thought, the tone of those room meetings, if you were involved in any of them?
There's also a spot right down there next to your lid between those two gentlemen, or would you join us at the table?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Well, do you know everyone on the committee?
Not so sure. No, I don't think I did. Anybody you want us to just introduce?
No, I think I know everybody.
Okay.
Great.
So what we're doing right now is reflecting on the community conversation meeting, and I've asked everyone who is participating or facilitating to provide us with their firsthand thoughts about the makeup and the tone of those small group meetings and what was discussed. We're going to go into more detail about the content shortly, so about halfway through with this round. How about other people who took part? Anybody else have some thoughts they'd like to share?
I don't know if anybody shared this part, but one discussion at the table that I was at was that the busing of students to Pittsburgh for a class just takes away from them being able to take other classes that they need to take.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. And the cost of it.
Thank you. Or anybody else have anything to add? Or well, thank you for that. So I now like to just have us talk briefly about the round one information that we shared. So if you wanted to refer in your packet, I also gave you folks a copy of the summary report, and the background information starts on the bottom of page one. It's right there on the cover. So if you haven't had a chance to attend and you wanted to just look that over very quickly, you could see what information is provided. So what we did in round one, our facilitators asked each member of their small group to talk about what stands out to you in the information and what questions do you have. That was the first round of conversation. And you can see as you look through the summary of that information is included. The themes and so on begin on page two. So maybe we'll just take a moment to skim over this to refresh your memory after having, I'm sure, looked at it some time ago, and then we can chat about it. So the questions are, what stood out for you in the information, what questions we have? So I'd like to highlight what we've gleaned from this conversation, the folks that will have some activity, either from your recollection about what stood out or what questions you have. So if you remember, in just a quick one side, in the materials we gave out for this one, there was a fairly long description of the background information so people would understand what the project was all about, the need for the space, and then we asked people to think about it and react to it.
Question?
We actually are not taking questions. This is a committee meeting.
No public hearing.
If you would like to, you could see me afterwards or jot your question down.
I just wondered if any of these reports were available to the public.
Yes, they're online.
They are?
Mm-hmm. They've been online since December. All right, so thinking about the background information and the conversation you took part in or what you've read about the feedback from our community, what are your thoughts what stood out to people in their review of the background?
Thank you.
I think the place where the notes are, I apologize, are beginning on page 6, which talks about the background itself. Those of you need to be reminded of what that background info was. On top of page 7, kind of goes on. And the background information talks about what would be what are the needs? What would be the positives? You know, that type of thing. Anybody have any thoughts about that? In your meeting groups, do you recall the conversations we had about the background of building and reasoning? What stood out to you when you were speaking with people? I didn't have a chance to sit in on one table during the first meeting, but the second meeting, I did. And even though there were, you know, majority of people at the table I was sitting at did favor the project, there were still a lot of misconceptions about what we were trying to do and why. And it was interesting to me to hear how those were, how people became more informed and said, that was information that I wasn't aware of. And I think it was the communication amongst the groups seemed to really add to people's understanding of the details. What do you thought? What were your thoughts about that? Especially the facilitators. Did you find that to be true? That there were questions answered and all that type of thing?
I think the tours opened a lot of people's eyes. They didn't, you know, they've heard that there's an overcrowding issue, but nobody realized until they actually took the tours that that's what happened.
Yes.
For my people, it was just, they could see the need. Most of them, it was how to get there.
Yes.
They were puzzled of how do we get there.
Get there, that's a good point.
I think the conversations in our group helped to answer a lot of questions that people had and better understand the situation, the information provided to.
Anybody else?
I think for like some people don't understand the value of what we have with the CTE. I mean, some people think that, well, we have that money in Caney, so why do we need the CTE here? Not thinking that offers something different.
Right.
And a lot of it is to really help the kids. So after high school, they have something.
Right.
So I think there's not a lot of information, or if there is, I don't think they think that the importance of this.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, and the public thinks that, oh, you need to teach more hands-on, more vocational, more all this. They don't really understand that's a CTE class. Yes. And they come in all different forms, you know. Yeah.
And I think there's still some are still stuck on joining with Canaan. They don't understand that that's not in Holbrook's best interest to go that route. It is in other towns, it's a great interest for them, but not Holbrook. They would be paying the higher percentage of it.
Any other thoughts that you have about the building, the project itself, the background information that really stood out in your conversations?
I think, again, there was just a lot of misinformation about the funding, about what kind of, the fact that renovations were included in the building expansion and what that was going to cost, and questions about the academy.
Right.
Just a lot of either misinformation or just lack of information they didn't know.
And just not wanting to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to face it yet.
Like, it's been a long process too. You know, like people have been following along, you know, this is with the city account, it's been a lot. So
I heard from the students in the points here that they feel uncared for, both like with access to education and from the community. I understand why. And fear of speaking out. They were very afraid to say anything out loud.
Here, we certainly strive to create a safe environment for students, and that is very disheartening. And I've heard that other students here in school as well. Very concerning.
It's a very sad statement that you just said, and it makes me feel like if we as a group or a community don't care about the health or education of our students, then what do we stand for? What do we care about?
Well, they said, you know, it's one of the comments that came up was that they're, the students just leave here. And they're like, well, why would we say, you know, we're not caring for?
That's right. Exactly, because this whole thing is an investment in public's future. Be the students, you know, being learning skills so that they'll come back here and be a big, huge part of our community and to grow it. Because if we do nothing, do you know what we're going to end up like? We're going to be Stratford. That's the bottom line. So if we don't invest in our community, that's what we're going to be. Sad but true. And I can say that because I believe it's true.
I also don't think we're looking at the population is older. And a lot of people in this community that are professionals are retiring. Some of them are hanging on longer than they intended because there is no one to fill their shoes. We need to make this a more welcoming town. And one of the best ways to do that is to have a school system with all these programs intact so that we can have professionals come here. They're not going to come here if we don't offer these programs for their kids. They're not going to come here for overcrowded. They're going to look at our school system first.
And totally not... agree. It's an investment in public's future.
It is.
Businesses to come here. If the Balsams comes through, what are you going to have? Illiterate people?
You mean if.
I mean, I know. I'm a very positive person. And they are going to come. They are going to start. I believe.
They are.
Right, let's flip this page over to round two, where we talk about what priorities should be considered by the decision makers. And here we got information from our groups about the values and perspectives that they brought to the conversation. So the first round was get familiar with facts. The second round was talk about your values. So this kind of leads right off Lisa's comment about, you know, what do we stand for as a community and as a school. So the groups were asked to talk about what priorities should be considered by decision makers. How well are the needs of the students and educators matched by the current facilities? And if there is no tax impact, what remains challenging or concerning about the project for you as a community member? And what are the pros and cons of keeping things the same? And lastly, what features or needs do you think should be emphasized in the renovation expansion of our school? So all students, present and future, have room to learn and access to quality facilities. So as you recall or review our notes from the meeting, what stood out to you about the values and perspectives that were shared after we reviewed the details of the background? It could be from a specific group. I appreciate the comments about the students. I really enjoy hearing your views on anything stand out to you about the specific round, the values and perspectives.
I think that from the students' perspective, what I heard in my group, the needs are not. Forget the word.
Base.
Students are getting like the base because they have to be bused back and forth. So they're missing out on classes here. They're studying in the weight room and in conference rooms, and they're working on the middle school level labs and gym stuff like that. So they don't feel like they're getting the high school education and they're hungry for it. They want that.
I think the gentleman from Errol made a good point too. At one discussion, he said from somebody outside the area looking at the school, they consider Berlin for technical aspects, always considered Colbert for academics, and that picture is changing now. If things stay the way they are, we're going to lose student population.
As priorities from our groups for the need for a CTE program space with woodworking and automotive programs seem to be high priority.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to speak up if people are trying
please
to hear you.
Thank you.
And we have one of our teachers from the woodworking auto area, but those are very popular programs. We have, that's Mr. Allen, we have waiting lists for our auto program. And the major concern I have about the future of that program is that we're in a leased building that has a time limited lease. And if the building is sold again, it may be that we'll have to vacate. There are not any other places I've been able to locate that we could go to immediately that would serve the needs of students. And Mr. Allen teaches the woodworking programming. So if you want to make any comments about that or what you heard about that in your group?
I'll just add that the number of kids who want to participate in the welding and automotive in particular is way larger than TOC can accommodate.
Yes.
We can't even possibly keep 11 kids busy. So I consider TOC like when a student says, if you care if I do a little bit of English or history, because he cannot possibly have 11 bodies in the automotive shop, say. No, I mean, the building is... So I'm not been to that building. It's like that corner of the library. That's it. It's small. And that's all. And my woodworking place is adequate for now. I mean, 6 is a good number.
I also have a real problem with no consumer science.
Yes.
I definitely have a problem with that. I mean, if I hadn't had that type of thing in school, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And I serve a need in this community. And I'd like to think that someone else is learning be able to take that over.
The students in my group said that if they weren't bused to the CTE programs they were offered in-house, more students would apply for them.
Mm-hmm. So what about the discussion you had with your group about if there's no tax impact, thinking back to your community discussion, what were some of the reasons that were shared with you as to why this program, they would or would not support the building? Anyone recall those conversations that you had? Or
my group, they said that if there was no tax impact, that was the biggest concern. Like last March, that was the people in the group that I was in, that was a big concern. And they said that if there was no tax impact, that's why they came to the meeting too, is to like really learn about that and that they would support it. Sure. Just knowing that we would get like the building fund from the state, and why wouldn't we take it? That was the comment. Like, why would we not take it?
Anybody else? Your thoughts or recollections about that question?
I think at our table, there was still like a trust issue. We try to tell them there's going to be no tax impact, but there's really no way to, I mean, you can't promise that. It's hard to articulate that we're going to build this project and there's not going to be any tax impact. I mean, everybody's taxes just went up. So taxes went up and people are asking why they go up. I mean, they went up in the fall when the budgets were set back in the spring, they still went up. So this, it's hard with the trust thing to explain to people that, oh no, it's not going to be a tax impact. I mean, I don't see how there can't be.
Sure, I'm glad you raised that question, because I think that the focus is, will the community be asked to pay for the construction, and will the new building and all the renovations, which you're familiar with, will they raise the operational costs? So our aim was to make that a zero impact. But as far as other costs like, you know, just inflation that causes things to increase, that fuel that changes the cost for transportation of all the students. You know, those are not things that we can control. We work really hard to keep our costs down, as you know, they've worked a while, but it's not,
most
goal.
People understand that, but to try to, you know, actually when that comes that time when the
tax bills come.
I mean, if we a $6 million gift was given, the school was built. I mean, I almost be on the school board in the first couple trying to put a budget together when you have costs that you can't control. The communities, it'd be very difficult if you just with normal operating costs to go up. CDA, you know, the union agreements, stuff like that, it's going to go up, and that's going to be an issue, even if it's unavoidable. To try to explain to people that to get trust back and then keep it when the taxes are going to go up, I don't see any negative right now, but I mean, it's just.
Yeah, I agree with you. Taxes for operating the building will go up.
It's going to go up. Just,
that's true.
You know, they're going to go up even if this doesn't happen. So I don't see how they're not going to go up.
Yeah.
And so then it's just going to,
right?
It's just going to continue to cause a trust issue. They're going to say you said they wouldn't go up and we did it and now they are, and you're going to be like, we can't control these.
Yeah,
but there are other costs. Yeah, there are other related to the school. Right, it's going to be difficult to try. That's, that's what I see. And it's like, in our table, we had those questions about taxes. We had those questions at our table, and it's hard to, you know, with some people that were against it, and it's hard to get the trust back. That's an issue. Well, the same taxes aren't going to go up. Explain how they can't. And you try to explain, well, they won't based on the building, but yeah, there will be some that will, it muddies up every day.
Well, if any of the other board members that have sat in on this discussion want like to add anything, you know, our board works on the budget half of the year, it seems. <That's
laughs>
that we're not really at a point of discussing the future one, but anyone want to add or their thoughts on this question? But I think we're trying to say this addition would not have a tax.
I totally get that.
The cost of operating the school.
And then we're making energy efficient upgrades hopefully help offset some
totally,
of those.
Yeah. It's just hard to.
It's hard to
get people to believe it, that the taxes aren't going to go up. You're in school, you lower the budget or you come in under what you projected.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year, and I still hear that it's the school's fault the taxes just went up. I mean, I heard it the other day that it's they're in school,
and it wasn't just the school.
And it's like, so it's hard to go, it's hard to get away from that. Even if it wasn't the school's reason that the taxes just went up,
and you got to remember too, there's two variables that we have no control over. One of them is the valuation. We have no idea what the valuation is going to be, and that impacts your tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
The second is we don't know what we're going to end the year with and what surplus we're going to have. So if you have a surplus that's over what we anticipate, that's going to offset tax rate. So that's a positive.
Right, it's a positive. And then they still go up, and then they still go up based on maybe the town budget or valuation, but the school still gets blamed for your taxes going up.
Yeah.
Without even, you could put the numbers in front of some people and show them, and they don't want to see it.
Right. That's why I don't even like talking about tax rates, because honestly, until next October, we have no idea what the tax rate's going to be. Until we've closed our year and we have a valuation. It's really just a guess of what it's going to be. But as far as the building project, I think what the architects and everyone involved is saying is, building aid will fund it. We promise donation to fund the rest of it. And we're going to make energy efficient upgrades to hopefully help their operating costs.
Right.
So that's the impact we're aware of.
Right, exactly.
And was sustainable materials also in that?
Yes, to our ongoing energy efficiency upgrade.
Like the lighting upgrades would be available.
Anyone else want to comment on that point before we move on?
I can tell you, someone came in and asked me how come the taxes went up. And I said, aren't you paying for everything else more than you did last year? And they said, yes. I said, well, don't you think that maybe the town has to pay more for everything else than they did last year? Oh, they said, inflation is, yeah. It affects everything down the line. And they looked at me and they said, oh, I guess I shouldn't have asked you. That's what they said.
I mean, look at groceries alone. Think about how much you paid probably a year ago versus what you paid now. It's a lot higher in my house. I can tell you that. And we're not buying anything additional that we didn't before.
I think that the trust issue is something that we should spend a lot of time on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to solve all the world's problems with that, but I think there's so much information out there and there's so much conflicting information out there that it's confusing for folks. And I think that alone creates mistrust. Like they see something that a community member says, something that the board says, or something that somebody else says, or something in the paper. And they're like, well, they're all lying to me. I can't trust anybody. And it just creates that. And I don't think we're going to get support from people that voted no last time, even if we say it's not going to cost you anything, because there's a trust issue. And they don't believe that, to Craig's point, they don't believe that when we say it's not going to cost anything, that we're telling the truth because trust is broken. And I don't know how to rebuild it, but this was, I think, a great step to kind of extending the olive branch. And unfortunately, some people didn't take advantage of that. But I think we have to spend some time on figuring out how we rebuild that. I think that's important.
And we got to remember why we're here. We're here for the students. So I feel like their voice should be the biggest voice of all out of everything. Mm-hmm. And I know from personal experience, I have a high schooler and she tells me some of the things that really frustrate her about being in the same building. So I get it. But their voice to me is the biggest.
One else on that, on this topic before we continue on, and we still owe you a report on a few other things. So let me just. So I think the last questions are somewhat similar. This was the final round where people were asked to talk about the questions that were lingering for you. And if there was one thing that you wanted to go to know, what would it be? So as you're thinking about what you observed and listened in on, was there anything you heard that we haven't discussed or that you feel needs to be emphasized from your discussion with your meeting?
I think some people were concerned is for the funding, for the donation, we're thinking, do we have enough time to get those fundings before March? I think a lot of them have asked that question.
And I know Kristen and I talked about this a lot last before Christmas. I hear people talking about how can we need, why do we need four buildings for a population that's half as big as it was 25 years ago? Why can't consolidate? I know this is where you and I spoke. We could accommodate every single kid in all four schools in two buildings pretty comfortably.
You mean the whole SAU?
And Canaan.
And Canaan. Oh, okay.
I've heard the same.
I hear it all. Whenever the school, anything to do with school, money, elbow room, not enough or too much in some cases.
But they did that 3 years.
Yes, I remember that.
And it did not pan out for Colebrook. It's going to cost
feasibly, money-wise, or for other
it would
reasons.
Cost Colebrook building-wise.
Right.
48%.
Right. I remember that.
To send a child to Canaan.
Right.
Is that more than what it is today?
It would be... I take that back. It's not a child.
What do you consider the cost of
consolidating? 48% of the operating cost to send them to Canaan. Yes.
Because you'd have the largest population.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's all big.
Help me understand. So okay. Is 48% better than 100%? Or like, right.
Really easy way. I think it did. It make sense when I explained it to you.
It did, but we also have the lion's share of the population, right?
That is correct. That's why it would cost more,
right?
Because we have more kids,
right?
So you pay per student.
No, I can see that.
Okay, so if we have Colebrook, Pittsburgh, Stuartstown, if we are sending our high school kids to Canaan, and we have made a district, we're now a district with Canaan. If Stewartstown furnace died, we would pay 48% of that furnace in Stewartstown. If Colebrook does, if Canaan doesn't meet the requirements for Canaan, they can carry kids that are crippled. They can move a classroom. The law in New Hampshire does not allow New Hampshire schools to do that. You have to have those children same access as a non-crippled child or non-handicapped child. So if they needed to put an elevator in that they do not have, you would pay 48% of that. Just because of our numbers, we have more kids. I can't remember how much it was for Pittsburgh. It was way lower. It would be way lower costs for Pittsburgh if they joined in. Because they have so few kids.
So it's not just the overall operating cost, everything else.
It's everything else.
So their building aid is not the same as ours. Yeah,
they don't have any.
Yeah, they don't have a building aid, you're right. That's the problem. So they're getting paid more.
And unfortunately for ongoing costs of the consolidated district, Vermont pays a lot more in different kinds of taxes than we do.
Yeah.
It also has the highest amount of state aid to local schools in the United States. It comes from Montpelier, from the state budget, from the income tax, from the sales tax. On the other hand, New Hampshire has the lowest amount of central state aid to local schools. So it falls onto the property taxes here.
Yeah, it's
the amount of pain. All Vermonters experience pain when they buy something, get paid every week. In Colebrook, it's every 6 months you open your tax bill and you get a very big number. And unfortunately, if there are increased costs for students because of the consolidation, it comes out of the hide of Colebrook taxpayers, not out of the legislature in Concord distributing them in the state. And that would have been an ongoing problem. It would have continued indefinitely, assuming that the general court doesn't make a change in taxation in New Hampshire. And that seems highly unlikely, I mean.
And the other thing that we had talked about with that study committee is that there wasn't a building that could accommodate all the students without either an addition or a large renovation or a combination of both. And at the end, toward the end of that committee's work, they had been getting quotes on a standalone high school separate from every other building that might be located in one of the towns, just so that we could accommodate all of the students, because none of our buildings had space for the high school or the facilities for the high school. Canaan does have a high school, but their high school is very small and their classrooms are very small. They wouldn't be able to accommodate our 125 or so students there. So that's the misconceptions are people think, well, they don't have as many kids, they can take more of ours. But we closed our high school, so we don't have additional space. We're already crowded. We can't combine everyone into one location at this time. That might have been a vision, but when they started to look at all the details, the population grade by grade and where they would actually be seated in the building, it wouldn't have worked out. And that was another reason why we started looking at the addition, the building of a new high school, those conversations that followed toward the end. And again, I don't know what the future will bring. A lot of it is going to take, if there is an interest in rekindling that conversation, now that the Colebrook board has met once with Canaan, the SAU board met once with Canaan, and the idea is we need to start from the beginning and really relook at these issues, but it isn't going to be at no cost. And we have to work within the laws of each state. So Vermont has different laws for funding schools. They also have no building aid. We have building aid, and we are able to, you know, we have permission to do a building with an $8.9 million grant, but if it were to be located in Vermont, they would not be receiving any aid from the state. So it isn't black and white. And I think people look at these things very, you know, in a very, I don't know, simplistic way or without having a lot of facts and draw conclusions. But the committee worked hard on this for years and they could not find a way to make it happen. And many of them, some of them might even be around this table. I think some of you were active members of that group. So,
and they did it twice.
Twice.
Well, it happened twice.
The conversation was going on when I was on the school board many years ago.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to say, I've been with the foundation in my office. That's from going back to the 70s.
Yep.
So,
80s, 90s.
Yeah. So it isn't the first time I've tried to do it. So the next point we wanted to talk about, if it's okay, Stacey, can we
continue? Carry on.
Yeah, is just to refer to a summary of information about where we are with our capital campaign. If you page through to page 10, the very last page of your packet. So we are still actively working toward seeking donations for the project. We've and working in concert with my team, Robert and Michelle, and the PTO has been very active, and Michelle personally also to part of it. We have sent letters, made calls, had in-person meetings, and with potential donors, including citizens of the community, alumni who have moved on, businesses and foundations. We held a quilt raffle, and we have a GoFundMe page. And we're planning a talent show, and or the PTO is planning a talent show and a silent auction coming up on February 3rd. At this point in time, we don't have any donations to report other than those received. And up to this point, our donation total is $7,662 at this point, as you can see on the note. So we're still on the very low side. That's really where we are. And I don't know if Robert or Michelle have anything they'd like to add about that whole part of the process. Feel free to jump in.
Well, I think as this process moves forward, that one of the difficulties in the trust question, and it was very nice because I found at the round tables, questions of trust disappeared very quickly once the discussion started. You realize there are a number of complex issues in how you float a bond, what fees have to be paid. You can get something wrong without any intention of malevolence. But the other part of this is it's a multi-year project. When it started, there was very little inflation. Interest rates were different. We don't know what the legislature will do when it's in session. It has lots of moving parts. And the previous board had worked out many of the aspects of it. Once it was rejected by the school district meeting, it meant we started this process all over again. And it's likely that it will have moving parts for as long as it's alive, as long as it's something to be considered here. I will make a promise to the whole board in the room here. If I win the lottery, I'll build the school. Now, that's not the most assured source of revenue.
Are you buying tickets?
Yes.
Okay. Chances are better when you buy tickets.
We went out and we looked for alumni all over the United States, hoping to find a very wealthy alumni that was getting on in years and was estranged from his whole family.
A perfect match, if you will.
It remembers fondly his youth in Colebrook Academy and would come up with a donation. People will continue to look. For those committed to the project, I think we can expect them to spend months, maybe even years, looking for some way to achieve no more than the very best we can do for our kids here. There is no personal gain for anyone in this, except the satisfaction of improving the school. On the other hand, I can't tell you what the legal structure will be or whether what we find in the way of donations a year from today. It's something people will continue to work on. Just as for many of us, we're still looking, the state aid is still in place. I don't know if we can ever do better. When I looked at the construction of Colebrook Academy, the add-ons and the other activities, Over the history of Cobourg, we tend to go back and look at the main school buildings about every 40 years. One of the elements of the expansion program is, and I think expansion was probably a poor term, a great deal of the money was going towards renovations that will have to be performed anyway. We didn't consider that part of the deductions along with the state aid. There will be fees to do repairs, to do changes, to do everything we have to do to provide the best possible services for the kids in the parameters set by the school district meeting and the state legislature. So even though I might tell you something tonight that I've researched, it could go out the window tomorrow. It could go out the window when we get a call from Concord. I think there is an attempt to try to be as honest and as fair as possible. At the same time, we don't want to give anyone false hope until something is actually arranged and looks fairly definite. There may be a major change in school funding and support through the Convale litigation, but that's still far from a sure thing. The Convale litigation has been going on for years. There is a strong adverse consideration of changes in New Hampshire taxation from the legislature. It's been part of New Hampshire culture since I was a child. I don't have any assurances that will change, even if the courts are involved. But all of these are the moving parts of trying to find the funding to help our kids in a way that does not impact with undue pain on the taxpayers of this district. And what I tell you tonight may not be true tomorrow, and it's through no attempt at prevarication on my part or anyone else around the table.
Shel, I know you've been very active. The GoFundMe page has created some interest. Did you want to make any comments about or talk about the upcoming event? Whatever you think.
So we have a GoFundMe page. It's active. It's out. Kim did put it on the school social media page too. You can find it there. I am an endless optimist, and I believe if everybody shared it and donated $1 with all of our contacts out there outside of Goldbook, we could make it happen without having to win the lottery. So please find it and share it and share your thoughts and your sentiments. You're passionate about the school, because that's the way we're going to get the word out there and get people who donate to it. There is a fee through GoFundMe, so if they don't want to do that, they can write a check, and that information is in the GoFundMe page as well. And then the PTO is hosting our first annual talent show. That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
February 3rd, it had to get moved. But we're doing a talent auction along with it. We've got some really cool items. Craig made a really beautiful flag that I will be bidding on. Outbid me, but I'm going to outbid you. Yeah, I love it. If I don't win, I'll hit you. And we also have, we've got a bunch of great donations. Lindy made a beautiful, or remade a beautiful quilt. We're getting some donations from the kids in the CTE program, which will be really neat to see how that does. We also have an autographed guitar from Willie Nelson. So we will be doing we'll make it online, an online auction, so people can start to bid even if they're not going to the event. We'll have all the items there for people to see and continue to bid on, and we may keep the auction for a few days thereafter. Because people will go home and be like, oh, I wish I bid on that guitar. And so we're still seeking donations. We're also looking for judges. My kids are going to be in the talent show, so I can't be a judge. And you don't want to miss their act, so you better get there. Tickets are $10. So we can fit about 170 people in the Tilly. It's at the Tilly. So tickets online. Everything's on our Cobourg PTO Facebook page. And if you want to be a judge, I will charge you zero admission. The winner of the talent show is going to get $100.
Nice.
So we're looking for talent too. Reach out to the PTO.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
It's going to be fun.
Michelle, we're a nonprofit. Facebook will not charge fees. We're a nonprofit.
With the GoFundMe page that charges.
Yeah. It's GoFundMe, not Facebook.
That's what I used when I did it for the Stock Church, and they totally paid the fees. Facebook paid the fees. And I did it for the church.
We'll have to talk. I'll have to look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a company that takes charge of that. And actually, when I went on and made my donation, they asked me for a donation to their organization so that there would be no fees. And I gave that donation.
Mm-hmm.
They had a suggested donation.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that because they also did it for the church. We paid no fees at all for a Facebook GoFundMe. So you might want to ask them.
Yeah, I will look at that. I don't know if it's Facebook or GoFundMe, but I'll take a look.
It was a GoFundMe that I did.
Yeah.
Yep, it was for the Stark Church.
So everyone should, when they leave tonight, go onto the Facebook page and get the GoFundMe and hear it on your Facebook page to your friends or send it out in other ways via email. So like you said, if everyone gave a small donation, it would make a huge difference.
And it's on the Colbert PTO page.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And the school's page. School Facebook page. Yep. All right. So since we don't really have anything major that's new to report, I don't know that we need to discuss future steps or recommendations, but my thinking is that we would want to give you hold on to this group and then call it together when we have an important development that we need to discuss. If you are all right with that, does that make sense rather than meeting without a specific purpose?
Okay.
Yeah. And if any of you want to join the subcommittee that's working on the capital campaign, we do meet periodically. So please just let me know and I'll include you. And we'll do is also we'll summarize our conversation, share it back with the school board, and we will go forward from there. Anyone have anything else to add or other comments?
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We're getting out before the storm, so yeah. If anyone from the audience has any questions you'd like to get on to me, I will help them out.